Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the show. IB Nation Sports Talk is up and rolling once again, along with Jesse Stiers. I'm Sean Stiers. We roll into a brand new week, and it's ultimately going to be the final week of the college basketball season. You know, maybe the most improbable Final Four ever on the men's side. The women's Final Four is halfway set. Iowa and LSU advanced last night. Tonight you got South Carolina against Maryland, Virginia Tech against Ohio State for the last two spots in the Final Four. Fighting Irish women bowed out, unfortunately, to Maryland over the weekend. If you have any questions on them, you can throw them our way. We'll get to them in rapid fire later in the show. How are you today, Jesse?
You know, I'm good despite the cold temperatures and it being rainy outside yet again. But yeah, it's just, you know, just another standard typical Monday. Got through the work day and now it's just time to have some fun and relax a little bit.
Are you getting all bundled up? You're going to the Cubs season opener later this week, Thursday in Chicago. Are you going to take your blankets? You got like the pocket warmers?
We've been following the temperatures and it doesn't look like it's going to be very warm on Thursday. So I've been looking on the team shop for a new jacket that I'm going to pick up when I'm in town.
Oh, okay. All right. Very nice. Very nice.
Use some of my birthday funds.
There you go. Hey, congrats to the Notre Dame fencing team. Did you see they won another national championship, 13 overall and three straight national championships for Notre Dame fencing?
I did not see that, but you know, it is well known at this point that Notre Dame is known as a fencing school.
It is. We get reminded of that every now and then on this show. Notre Dame is a fencing school. So good for them. I mean, you don't think of fencing obviously too much. Even when the Olympics rolled around, nobody talks a whole lot about fencing, but they are just dominant with that program. The last couple of head coaches have just been very, very good. So congrats to them on winning a national championship. We got some Notre Dame baseball we'll get to later on in the show as well. But in the meantime, what is this? Nathan with a super chat. Thank you, Nathan Milton. Ty IB. Oh, thank you, IB. I didn't get like the TY. For the great work and making me feel like I'm back in Indiana. I'm a Fort Wayne, Warsaw kid, and IB has the Indiana feel. No problem. Thanks. Thanks again for the super chat, Nate. We do the best we can to keep you right here, up close and personal. By the way, Tom Noy on the show tomorrow with Vince and I. This is usually a Vince day. Jesse and Vince traded spots because of all of his Chicago travel plans to go see the Cubs later this week. But Vince will be here tomorrow. We'll talk a little basketball as well as football, of course, with Tom Noy. But we've got that coming up on tomorrow's show. So, Jess, you want to talk some football?
I do. And, you know, before we get into it, I have to make the disclaimer that this is the most important Cubs game of the season because it's the game where I'll probably be the most interested before it just steadily declines throughout the season.
Well, I think they're going to be better this year.
Better this year. I just don't think all of their cards are quite on the table yet. So I understand that, you know, you're rebuilding and all those things, but It just feels like a little bit more effort could be put forth, especially after last season.
Yeah. Tyler said we didn't invite you for Tom.
No, I'm too cool for school.
Yeah, that's right. He was here 2 weeks ago for Tom, and now Jesse's actually going to be there's too much driving to try to explain his whole itinerary, but he'll be driving back to South Bend tomorrow and then through South Bend and to Chicago Wednesday, basically. But we'll have Tom tomorrow. We'll talk Micah Shrewsbury. We'll talk Final Four and all kinds of stuff with Tom as well. We've got some comments from new Fighting Irish offensive coordinator Jared Parker. Jesse, have you ever heard Parker speak before?
In his press conference, but that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, this is similar, but not exactly the same. Here he is. Parker asked after practice Saturday if he's putting his stamp on the Irish offense as the new offensive coordinator.
I believe it's like the older you get, the more you learn. It's not about you as much, you know, and I think being married, having kids and doing this coaching thing for a while tells you that. So it's really not my stamp. It's ours. And that's not cliche. I really mean it. Like, I think that as you get it in and you get guys bought in and you build a staff that we built, both in our off the field guys and our on the field guys, we've got a great staff. We really do. And so my job is to just give great direction, provide leadership, and create a unity that everybody feels empowered to do their jobs. So I think, if anything, I hope that would be maybe my stamp. Otherwise, I'm just a piece of it. I try to help divide good direction, and then from there, just let these guys do their jobs and let the players do their jobs.
I'm just here, man. It's like, I don't know about you, Jesse, but like, I feel like Parker might have a career in politics after football, because I felt like that was a nicely tossed word salad. You know, there were a lot of words spoken there, but I'm not exactly sure that there was very much to pull out of it. It's like, I'm here and I just let the guys do their work. You know, I guess that's the biggest thing you can take out of that. He said it's not cliche, but it kind of seemed like it a little bit. So I don't know about you. What did you think?
Yeah, just off of that, you know, that the clip that we were hearing, it did sound a little bit cliche, but I think some of the things that stuck out were the term, you know, it's our offense, it's not my offense. And I think that goes a long way of, you know, he's not implementing or forcing an offense onto the team that's not really going to fit. And I think that's where he's saying it's our offense. There's a lot of feedback. There's a lot of kind of trial and error of, you know, this works well or this doesn't work well. So that's something that I picked up on. And then the great direction, I think, putting guys in the position to perform their best, or, you know, giving guidance where guidance is needed in order for guys to perform their best. And then, like he said, it's ultimately up to them to do their jobs. He can put them in the right situation. He can build, you know, an offense that's tailored around their skills, but ultimately it's going to be them doing their jobs. And I don't know if he took that from Tommy Rees or not, but you always got to do your job.
No, that's right. Do your bleeping job, right? And I mean, I think that when you talk about putting your stamp on it, I don't think that he's worried about necessarily like, this has got to be the Jared Parker stamp. He's got enough familiarity with these guys. And as we've talked about before, I don't think the offense is going to look drastically different than what we've seen before. I think the biggest difference in this offense is just that you're going to have a much more experienced quarterback running the offense, and a guy who knows how to get the ball out, you know, find guys in the passing game at all three levels of the passing game, short, intermediate, and deep. And I think that's going to be like, if there's a stamp to be put on it, I think it's, and we'll talk about Sam Hartman more in detail in a little bit. I think that's going to be the biggest thing. I don't think it's necessarily Jared Parker, you know, coming in and it's like, this has got to be mine kind of thing.
Yeah, and again, that's definitely what I kind of took away from it, too. It's not just like, oh, this is my offense, this is how we're doing it. I don't see that as the overall kind of vibe right now with what he's trying to do.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So they've been at it for, well, not quite a week now, but I think that Saturday was practice number three that they were out there. So last week was the first week of practice, and like they're winding into what'll be their first full week this week. So what's that first week been like for Jarrett Parker?
Well, I think that finishing today, just in week one, I really like our guys. You know, no different than this place and our culture here. It's set from our head coach down, our offensive guys, our energy, the full football team, just our energy, commitment to learning, commitment to fixing things, and just to buy into our tempo and energy to move and practice and move with urgency. That's where it starts. You know, we've got a tough physical football team, and just to see those guys do that again on the grass after a long break since the bowl game is refreshing. And for us, it's a long time from that window from being done and recruiting January to get to this point. And certainly with the job change for me, to be able to get on the grass and help these guys do what they love doing is certainly an exciting time for all of us.
Hey, so, you know, kind of hearing him talk there, he's basically just talking about, hey, it's good to be back out on the field once again, the energy and the tempo and all that kind of stuff. What are those first few days typically of spring practice like? When you get out there, you're coming off the winter workouts and all that kind of stuff.
You know, honestly, you feel pretty amped up, especially for the guys who really, you know, took it, because you have a short window there from when the season ends and then when spring practice, you know, resumes essentially. And I'm assuming during that time they still had some sort of, you know, regimented workout program where they're going in for lifts and other kinds of things. So really what you're doing in that window is, what are you doing on your own to kind of separate yourself from the pack or improve? And so coming into those first couple practices during the spring is often just kind of a little bit nervous, but still a little bit, you still have the adrenaline going because you want to prove, you know, especially for the younger guys, the guys that want to prove something. But then again, like I said, you're still, there's still that nervousness, right? Because you're just so jacked up. There's so much excitement. And ultimately you're just trying to make a great impression. And especially when you get a new offensive coordinator, there's guys, I'm sure, on the offensive side of the ball, they're trying to create, you know, that first impression as Jarrett Parker is looking on them with the offensive coordinator eyes. Because of sure, like, he's seen them, but not in the eyes of offensive coordinator, right? Like, it's a different right. kind of perspective of someone's attention that you're trying to grab. So, yeah, it's just, again, the first couple of days, there's just a lot of excitement. In terms of your preparation, did you prepare enough? Did you not prepare enough? Are you fit enough? Are you going to come off as, you know, knowing what you're doing, coming off as fit, those sort of things? So yeah, that's what I would say is kind of like the first couple day vibes. Everyone's just kind of feeling each other out essentially.
Yeah. And it's really like hearing them talk about it, 14 regular practices. And then practice number 15 is technically the blue gold game. There really aren't that many practices when you think about it over the course of the spring.
No, and I think I know when we did it, or when I was playing, sorry, I want to say we did like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays. And so we did that for like 5 weeks. And then our 15th practice. Yeah, our 15th practice was, you know, the spring game. But again, in between those practices, there's still you know, film to be watched. There's still weightlifting to be going on. It's not just like you're not doing nothing in those off days. It's just those are the days you just don't have practice every single day.
Yeah, it's the most concentrated on the practice days. And is there a different feel in spring than even in, you know, obviously there's going to be a different feel than during the season, because during the season, you know, the rhythm of the season gets going and everything is building up to Saturday and then coming back down off Saturday and then building up to Saturday once again, because you have an actual game. But is the vibe, is it a lot different in the spring compared to fall camp?
Yeah, I would say like spring camp is like, to me, it felt like open auditions every practice, right? Like during the season, fall, like you are working towards a common goal of that opponent that week. So it's very, very structured in what you're doing. The spring practices to me kind of felt like a showcase to really, you know, show what you can do. That there's, I would say there's more guys taking, I'd say, risks. You know what I mean? Because you want to show plays of athleticism, you know, the wow, the spectacular plays. But for us, we always had scrimmages on Saturdays. And so like the week, it was kind of a buildup to usually, you know, more combined team on team periods on the weekends where you're doing actual, you know, like 7-on-7, or maybe you're doing, you know, fitted shells on Saturday and you're still doing teams, you know, team periods where you're not wrapping up and taking to the ground, but you're still fitting up. You're still, you know, giving guys a good thud in the hole, that kind of stuff. But yeah, the weekday practices felt definitely more relaxed. And again, it's a lot of learning time for the younger guys. But then, you know, the more older guys obviously have a better idea of the playbook. So it felt like those guys were just kind of doing things to really, you know, show out, enhance that, you show what they can do, kind of wild type plays. So, yeah, I hope that answered your question.
I think so. Before we go any farther, I forgot to mention early, you know, the spiel. Smash that like button, please. It helps out the Irish Breakdown platforms. And, of course, subscribe, rate, and review on your podcast platforms. Leave us a 5-star review, comment, and all that kind of good stuff. Subscribe to us. We do appreciate it. So, of course, you know, the thing with Jared Parker is he was obviously an offensive coordinator, at least in title, for a time at West Virginia. But this is really, you know, like this is his offense, full go right now. Yeah, he's running the show anyway, full go right now. So what's the biggest change been for him moving from tight end coach to offensive coordinator?
Probably the biggest thing is you quickly go, and I've always talked about it, because you try to put yourself in different shoes the older you get. And I think the biggest piece for me is starting to realize that in days off, those days off, you have to start thinking about what you're going to do the next day. You can't wait on a plan. You have to be out in front of everybody, because I think with good communication and a good plan, people want to know exactly what's happening next. So that's the biggest thing, is thinking 3 days ahead, 5 days ahead. And then, of course, then with leadership, there has to be a very, very calculated approach to build relationships, not with just the tight ends now or saying hi to guys. You want to build a full investment across the offense, let everybody know that their relationship to me and back is very important. So I think just the investment in people goes up. I want these guys to know we love them and we care about them. We want them to do real good, but we also care about them, and I hope they feel that. And that's been the biggest change. You got to do that with 55 guys compared to 10.
Think ahead to the next day. Be out front. What's happening next? I hadn't really thought about it that way. You know, again, like, especially when you're talking about the spring, I can see it even more so probably, you know, in fall. But the fact that you do have to be thinking ahead like that, you know, what's happening next. And then he talked about the relationships with everybody, and you kind of touched on it before. It's everybody now on the offense, 55 guys as opposed to just 10 guys before.
Yeah, so the preparation for the next day kind of threw me for a loop, because again, it is spring ball. It's not overly kind of complicated.
Right.
What you're doing in spring ball, you're doing just basic install of, you know, all the basic formations packages that you're going to come out in. And then you're going to obviously, you know, once the season starts, that's when you start tailoring and kind of game planning off of, you know, different formations off of your base formation. So I thought that was a little out there, to be honest, saying that, like, there's a lot of, like, I get, like, want a clear, concise, you know, what you want to achieve that day in practice, or, you know, certain, maybe you saw something on film and that you see something you might need to work on. But like, I think it was a little bit exaggerated in terms, but the thing that I liked the most of what he was talking about there is just relationships and the aspect of, you know, having real close relationships with 10 guys, come, you know, as the tight end coach. And now to the whole team. And I think that's probably the most important thing that he's got to get ahead of in spring ball, is just creating those relationships with all of his, you know, offensive personnel. So his personnel can trust him and vice versa. He can trust them, because, you know, the relationship, I think, goes a long way. And I think that's a big reason, you know. Yeah, Nick Saban down at Alabama has, you know, all the great 4 or 5 star guys, but I truly believe that he is one of the best at, like, having his players' backs, creating that, you know, relationship with all of his players, understanding all of his players. I think that's why he even gets more out of his players than what's given, you know, appreciation for. So to me, that's the most important thing that Parker said there, and should be, you know, about the spring, is the relationship with his quarterbacks, his offensive line, his running backs, just everyone.
Well, you know, we've talked about the relationships that Marcus Freeman has with guys like, whether it's Parker or any of these other new coaches, you know, just the guys on his staff. But Freeman is a relationship guy, and so many of these other guys, you know, they're relationship guys. And we've talked more about relationships with coaches and players, I think, in the last year plus that Marcus Freeman has been coached, than we talked about, you know, maybe ever when Brian Kelly was the head coach in 12 years. Like, he might have given some lip service to it, you know. It was after his 2016 overhaul, but it's just a lot different now, hearing these kind of things being talked about with the relationships and everything else that Marcus Freeman and his coaching staff are talking about.
Definitely.
By the way, Patrick, I did see Patrick Earwood. I did see your question. I'm going to save that for rapid fire. We'll hit that off the top in rapid fire coming up here in a little bit. Did you see it, Jesse?
Yeah, the one about Audric and Diggs.
Yeah. So we will talk about that in a little bit. How about Sam Hartman, though? Some say he's the quarterback at Notre Dame. He's the he's the grad transfer, right? He's the guy. I guess there's no official depth chart right now, but you know, he's right up there at the top. So here's Jared Parker talking about it.
The first thing, I think, with anybody, a guy that decides to work in any capacity, when you come in and show that you're about the work and build relationship with guys and do it in a humble manner, is something big to say. He does that with a lot of our guys on the unit. So that was the first day, so it kind of gives him an instant street cred. And, of course, being out here, to come out here and be around a different operation, a different way of doing things offensively, and for him to adapt, grow, and just dive into this thing with the other quarterbacks. And Coach Gadooly says a lot about him. He's done that through 3 practices, and he'll continue to grow in.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think anything out of the ordinary is said there, but it is nice to know that, you know, as a transfer quarterback, he said, you know, things of like he's been working at it. He's been building relationships, adapting to a different operation, and that, you know, he's been all in, or kind of diving all in on you know, this playbook and how the offense is run. And really all you can say is that that's what you would hope or expect out of, you know, your quarterback and, of course, a transfer quarterback. So it sounds like he's doing all of the things that he's supposed to be doing, which I didn't think that he, you know, that wasn't really a concern. And so I guess it's just a good thing hearing that he's not, you know, just being a complete idiot, I guess, is, you know.
Well, like, I mean, he's doing the things that you would expect a sixth-year grad transfer to come in and do, it sounds like. Being a leader, offensive, setting a good example, working hard, learning, you know, the way he's supposed to be learning, doing all that kind of stuff. I don't think that you would have taken him if you didn't think he was going to come in and do all that stuff.
Yeah, and so it, like, again, that's what I'm saying. It just sounds like he's doing all of the things that a 60-year quarterback in a new system that wants to perform well and, you know, help himself succeed, help the team succeed, and all of those things. So, yeah, I would say that it's pretty on par with everything that we've heard of Sam Hartman so far.
You got the street cred up there in Shaker Heights there, Jess?
It's a little east of my stomping ground, but.
Bobby saying, man, can you imagine this offense if Mayer was here one more year and this offensive line and receivers reached their potential? Hard to defend. And I think, you know, there were some people wrote some articles about that late last week with Michael Mayer catching passes from Sam Hartman at Pro Day. It's like it would be a lot different, I think. And did you ever read that article that we talked about on Friday with about the, basically, you know, there was the inference that it was the receivers holding back Tommy Rees and Drew Pine, and not necessarily the other way around, the quarterback holding the receivers.
No, I did not read that article.
The offense back. I wanted to resist giving the click because it was it just sounded so clickbaitish. And I went and I just gave it a quick, you know, I guess it doesn't matter once you're in there. I could have read it more detailed. I gave it a quick scan. But that's kind of the gist of what I got. And I'm sorry. When an inexperienced quarterback was locking in, I mean, Michael Mayer is a great player. There's no doubt about it. But I think that there's still a lot for this offense to go to. And I think that we're going to see it fully blossom. You know, again, now you've got a different coordinator and everything else. But I think we're going to see a lot different things from this offense, you know, multi-dimensional offense, a true multi-dimensional offense. They're going to miss Michael Mayer, sure. But I think that having a veteran quarterback like they're going to have this year is going to give so many of these receivers really a chance to grow. There's a lot of talent in that wide receiver room that we haven't had a chance to see to its full extent yet.
I think the biggest thing is Tommy Rees and Drew Pine knew that Michael Mayer was the ultimate security blanket. You know, 9 times out of 10, if you're going to get in trouble throwing the ball towards your All-American tight end, you know, first-round draft pick tight end, whatever you want to call him, and let him, you know, if that's where you're going to make your error, that's where you're going to make your error. So good quarterbacks can get open, can do things to get their wide receivers open. And I don't think that could be said about Pine. I don't think Pine did enough to make up for or get some of his wide receivers open. He more so needed the wide receivers to get open for him. And that's not right. A knock against Drew Pine. I just think that Sam Hartman can do things to get his wide receivers open rather than his wide receivers have to get him open because of he's inexperienced, you know, and the multiple things that Drew Pine was facing.
The experience that Hartman has playing, seeing the defenses, everything else, just that experience alone is just what you're talking about, being able to get wide receivers open, throw them open, and they don't have to be completely open.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of, and that's typically what we've seen. You know, it's not just a Drew Pine thing. You know, we even saw it from Ian Book with all the games that he won and everything else. That was still a thing for him. You know, he wasn't always the best at throwing those guys open, and I think we're going to see a lot more. I think this offense is just going to look more, not that it's going to be, you know, you're just going to be slinging it all over the place, because you are still going to have a really good running game, but again, I think that you're going to see so much more multi-dimensional offense this year.
I think that the run game, they will not run the ball as many times, but that yard per average may even go up because the passing game will allow the rushing game to take bigger gashes.
Right.
So even if you're not running
ball
as many
times of a passing game. Yeah.
Right. And so even if you're not running the ball, you know, per game as many times, I still think the yards and the yard per carry are going to be similar, if not better, just because of teams are going to have to respect, you know, the passing game. You can't cheat towards the box most of the time. And that's, you know, teams knew that Notre Dame's biggest strength was the box and the intermediate kind of passes to Michael Mayer, because it's going to take a little bit of time for, you know, plays for routes to get open downfield for Michael Mayer, just, you know, naturally.
So Romlick says Hartman will get 100% of the credit by the media if wide receivers do well this year. So if I'm reading this correctly, you're saying that the wide receivers should get more credit than they're probably going to get credit for if they do well. Like, is that what you see there, Jess?
Yeah, that's kind of what. I'm pretty sure that's what is being inferred, is that Hartman will get, you know, a lot of that credit, considering, you know, just like Pine would have got a lot of credit, okay, I think, last year.
Derek Romlick says yes. I mean, there's kind of a, I guess there's a fine line, you know, like if Drew Pine was holding the wide receivers back, then Sam Hartman is going to have to get credit if they do well this year, right?
It's not, like, it's majority of it is the same. Is it completely the same?
There's only one different, what do you call it? Like factor, like
variable.
Thank you. I was looking for the scientific math term and I knew you would have it. Yeah. There's only one different variable, right? With the exception of, well, maybe not just one different variable, because Parker, this will get you to perk up a little bit here, Jess. Parker was asked about Chris Tyree playing a little wide receiver. Is it going to be a permanent move or just mixing him in there?
We keep it. That's a good way of putting it. It's going to be a fun process. I'll say that. How about that?
He did not say much. Do you want to hear that again? Did you hear the whole thing?
I heard it's a process.
Yeah, I'd probably keep it. That's a good way of putting it. It's going to be a fun process. I'll say that. How about that?
Going to be a fun process. How about that? And, you know, again, he was asked, is it going to be permanent or just mixing in there? I find it interesting that on Notre Dame's website, und.com, the roster lists Chris Tyree as an RB/wide receiver. So they do have him listed at both, and he has obviously been practicing at wide receiver. So I know you're pretty excited about this. Does hearing him say that, does it make you more excited, less excited, somewhere in between about this whole thing?
Honestly, it makes me more excited because to me it sounds like he doesn't want to show his cards. And if that's the case, then there's no harm of immediately saying, no, we're just mixing him in there, seeing what he's going to do. You know, da, 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 da. If he was truly going to stay at wide receiver, but him giving that response to me indicates that that is something that they are working on and that they have full hopes that he can make that transition. So I think that's another thing is if insurance, like if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't pan out after him saying, oh yeah, we're trying to convert him. And then, kind of probably would look bad on Tyree's end if he can't, make that complete transition. So to me, I think, again, he's just kind of not playing his full cards. And that it makes me excited because it shows that they're all in on this move.
Right. And like that it's going to be a fun process that he kind of ended it with. And what you just said, he's not showing his full cards. You know, they're out there. We'll get to see a full practice coming up next week, and that'll be the only full practice that we get to see. My guess is we don't get to see Tyree doing a whole lot, but I think they're going to find a way to make him a true slash guy, and he's just going to do a lot of different things, and they're going to try to fully utilize every ounce of talent that Chris Tyree has in him and take advantage of his speed, his athletic, just the whole thing. Chris Tyree, I just think we're going to see a lot of him in the fall. That doesn't mean we're going to get to see a lot of him in the spring, but I think we're going to get to see a lot of him in the fall, and it could be a lot of fun if it pans out the way I think it could.
I think the best combination, best comparison that I could give, and this isn't, body type, same type of player or whatever, just how he's going to be utilized. I think a lot of the 49ers and Deebo Samuel and, like, the potential – that can come out of that, the being able to run the ball, being able to line up as a wide receiver, just being the most dynamic guy on the field. And that's what the 49ers realize is that sometimes you just got to get your best guy in space the ball. And Tyree as a running back straight downhill, I don't think is your best running back. But if we're talking one-on-one and open space with speed and agility, he's up there on the team of guys who are probably going to make you miss. So finding ways to get him the ball has to be the top priority, especially at slot wide receiver position, because you can use him in many different schemes and aspects of in the run game, as a decoy, as a slot guy going in motion, in the passing game. There's just so many things that can make the offense easier by just allowing Chris Tyree to move around, essentially.
I completely agree. They can put him in different spots all over the place. And like you said, they can run to him, they can throw to him, and it doesn't just have to be jets. There's just so much that they can do with a guy like Chris Tyree. I think the potential is completely untapped, and we talked about it all last season. Did you have anything else on that?
I had like a cool kind of concept that involves Chris Tyree that I think would be very is adaptable to a lot of what you see out of slot wide receivers right now. So if
okay.
you don't mind, I will pull up.
Oh, are you going to make everybody happy? Are you going to do a little whiteboard action right
now? I will.
Oh, boy.
I don't even have Salty in here today, which is upsetting.
That is.
Yeah, so this, again, is, you know, just a simple 11 form, you know, formation. Balls on the left hash, two wide receivers into the left hat or into the left boundary, tied into the right, one wide receiver split out to the field side, quarterbacks in shotgun with the running back to his left. So you have the two wide receivers and a running back into the boundary, and then a tight end and a wide receiver to the field side. And the tight end is on the line of scrimmage. And so, yeah, this is pre-snap. A play that I would like with Chris Tyree, because he would be the number two wide receiver to the boundary in the slot.
Got him in the slot.
Yeah, so he can go in motion across the formation. And again, I love motion so much. I've talked about it before, because immediately you can figure out, you know, what's going on defensively. And now that you have someone like Sam Hartman who has read defenses and can ultimately kind of, you know, click or be able to adjust plays just based off of this motion. So say you see man-to-man in this concept, right? And so immediately, if they, you know, they practice this throughout the week, Tyree goes in motion, a simple play here, if they're in man, would to be just allow Chris Tyree to run a slot fade, you know, down this sideline with his one-on-one matchup, get some speed, and then allow your other wide receiver here just to run something smaller to cut it off, you know, maybe a 5-yard dig or 5-yard in or out. But again, this is just a quick play. Tyree's going in motion, snap of the ball. You see man on man, and you're just running a slot fade. And the reason why I like this is because it's become popular in the NFL. A lot of guys are putting some of their premier wide receivers in the slot. You actually see the Cowboys do it a lot with CeeDee Lamb. He's the most effective out of the slot. So, yeah, say you get man-to-man on this look, you're immediately running a slot fade, okay? Say you don't get, you know, man-to-man and they're running with kind of two high safeties, because that's what would make this difficult, is if you have a safety on each side, because now, you know, the safety would be over top with help. So it would basically be, you know, double coverage trying to run a slot fade. But again, say you bring Tyree across the formation and, you know, pre-snap motion, you notice that it's not man. Okay, well, then the next check out of this play, instead of running a slot fade, is just to quickly release Chris Tyree into the flat, maybe allow this guy to run an inside fade up here. So you're clearing off the top, getting these guys to go out, and then you're just getting Chris Tyree the ball simply, you know, out in the flat in space. So again, one play that comes off of a simple motion where the quarterback and wide receiver are reading coverage, and then based off of coverage, you can either run a slot fade that utilizes his speed down the field, or just a check into the flat. We are getting the ball to Chris Tyree in space.
Very well done. Very well done. Anthony is loving it. Whiteboard on Monday. We must have been good IB patrons lately, and we are not Marshall. This is what happens when we hit the like button. Yes, this is true. This is a true story. We are not Marshall. That's why you hit the like button.
Someone's got to tell Tommy Guns and Salty that they missed out. They're always clamoring.
That's right. Rub it in their nose. Rub it in their nose for not being here on Monday. They better have a good excuse. All right, a final thought before we wrap up this portion of the show. Speaking of wide receivers, three freshman early enrollees are on campus right now going through spring practice. Braylon James, Jaden Greathouse, Rico Flores Jr. Are they swimming right now as they adapt to college football? Here's what Jared Parker answered.
swimming, and to be fair, that's okay. The great thing is right now they're starting to play faster, play a little faster, develop some confidence, and then take a little step back and then go again. Just a typical progression. But they're very, very talented players. They're eager. They want to learn, and the guys have welcomed them in. So just to come in, we just certainly feel very good about where they're at right now, and they'll continue to grow and get better. We'll keep pressure off on them and let them grow in time.
Let them get faster. Let them get faster. Keep on keeping the juice going. Great House, 6'1", 213 pounds. Braylon James is 6'2", 195. Rico Flores, 6', 198. These are not small guys coming in the door. You know, like, they are not Devontae Smith type guys. Like, they've got some size and some muscle to them already. And I tell you what, the guy who just they've all impressed me in different ways, but the guy who has impressed me the most, granted, I only got to see one practice and got to see some video of another, but Rico Flores Jr., just the way he moves and you know, the size, the hands, the acceleration, the whole thing, he's a pretty good looking receiver out there, especially for a freshman.
Yeah, and I think that overall, it just builds to the excitement of, you know, if we're going to be honest, like, a pretty disappointing year last year in the wide receiver room, right? Like, I personally, and I'm not trying to, you know, take a knock or swing at anyone, but like, it's probably been one of the least exciting kind of wide receiver production years in a while. And so when you talk about this season and Tobias and the transfer from Virginia Tech, and then, you know, some of the other kind of returning bodies, and then you talk about, you know, this influx of good freshmen, it, to me, it brings back some of that excitement towards a position group that honestly was kind of one of the favorites there for a while, just because of, you know, guys like Jeff Samardzija, Golden Tate,
Will Fuller,
Miles Boykin, Michael Floyd, you know,
Claypool.
There are other guy. I can't think of the guy that ended up playing for the Lions for a little bit too, as a wide receiver. There's just a lot of talent that came out of that, you know, position group. And I think, especially when you talk about Sam Hartman and knowing what he can do with the ball downfield and the lack of wide receiver production last year, I think it's we're going to see a big turnaround this season in terms of, you know, output from that position group. And it really, there's a lot of good competition, and competition only breeds good play overall. And so when you have these younger guys applying some of that pressure, you know, to the Tobiases or to the grad transfer, or, you know, some of these other guys that are coming back, it's just going to elevate the whole position group. And so, yeah, I wasn't surprised with anything that Parker said, because, you know, the biggest thing is you can't really play fast until you know quite yet what's going on. And so as they start to get an understanding of what's going on, then, yeah, naturally they're going to have confidence that they're going to be able to start playing just a little bit faster and faster. And to the point of, you know, like, they're mixing in and really competing with these guys that have been here for a little bit longer.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the rest of the room, and you mentioned a couple of them, but you got Deion Colsey, you've got Tobias Merriweather, you've got Lorenzo Styles, you know, you've got Caleb Smith, you've got Jaden Thomas, you've got Chris Tyree. I mean, that's a pretty good veteran group. Again, you know, like, I think that there is too much talent in that room to have the lack of production that they had last year. Now, some, you know, the Lorenzo Styles stuff, now some of that's on him. We know that. He knows that. Marcus Freeman has talked about it. But at the same time, you know, I do wonder how much having an inconsistent quarterback who, you know, you never really knew if the ball was, you know, there was no consistency with where the ball was going last year, other than Michael Mayer. Right.
Like, well, yeah, and that's how much did that play part as a wide receiver. Like, when you're struggling and you don't even know if the ball is going to get thrown to you on routes or plays where the ball is designed, you know, to get to you, I'm sure that can get, you know, overall frustrating, you know, for someone like Styles, who was struggling a little bit last year.